Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Well, hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. I am super excited this week to have on the podcast someone who is an amazing storyteller. Joining me is Philip Kosleski, who is the founder of Voyage Comics and Publishing, and he is a spirituality writer, comic book creator, and he's known for his new comic book series that we're going to be discussing today, Finian and the Seven Mountains. Welcome to the show, Philip. Super to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Oh, I'm really excited. I always love having authors on, but I think that once I took a look at what you've created, I was like just filled with so much excitement about the project. Before we dive into the books, though, I just want to find out a little bit more about you. So can you tell us a little bit more about your story?
Sure. So I had been in parish ministry for about 6 years, and near the end of it, I was starting to kind of discern a little bit, just on a personal level, kind of like what gifts do I have that God has given me, and how can I use them? And so I, through a series of different events, I kind of discerned that I have this, I guess, gift of writing. And so I thought, well, I might as well kind of explore it. I never really previously explored it, but I just wanted to kind of give it a try. So then I started, initially just writing on my my blog, and then and that kind of snowballed a little bit, and then I became a blogger for the National Catholic Register for a short time. And then a couple years ago, I started writing for a website, alatea.org. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've mainly been focusing on that, writing different articles on spirituality and Catholic tradition. And kind of in the midst of it all, then kind of finding, this ability to write, and kind of wanted to kind of expand and kind of take on creative writing. And every writer's dream is to write a good novel.
We all have one in us, absolutely.
Yeah, and
you don't have to be a good writer. I think any writer and many grown-ups dream of writing the perfect novel.
Yeah, and it was interesting. Like I just remember having these. Like I could see the story kind of fold out in my mind, but then when I went to write it, it just didn't work, to be honest. And so I was kind of struggling. Like, well, what am I supposed to do? Like I have these ideas, but I want to be able to express them and give them life. And so then I started, thinking and praying a little bit more, and I had this idea of creating a specific comic book, mainly because I knew it would just be just great visually. I saw it too as a way to to evangelize the youth as well as adults through something that's a bit, you know, it's not very threatening, I guess, when you pick up a comic book. You know, it's something that really anyone can pick up. And so then I started, you know, learning how to write comic book scripts, and it just kind of all fell into place. And then I started looking for artists, and then it kind of all, you know, all the dominoes started falling. And then I, you know, was put in touch with this artist who had worked with Marvel and DC Comics for about 30 years, and another artist that had worked as an animator for Disney, and then it just, you know, things just kind of kept on going.
Just blossomed from there. Yeah, well, let's take a breath for a minute and unpack some of that. So, so the first thing that I want to ask about is, now you live in Wisconsin, right? Is that right? Okay. So, just to kind of go back a little bit to kind of your own faith journey, you mentioned that you were working for the church. Did you work in like youth ministry or something?
Well, I initially worked in adult formation, so kind of RCIA, RCIA and marriage preparation, baptism. So kind of, it was a smaller parish, so I wore many hats.
The jack of all trades.
Yeah. And you know, working in the parish, you know, I didn't mind it, you know, but I knew that I wasn't utilizing the gifts that I had.
Well, that's amazing. And with the nonfiction or the blogging that you do, so what is a typical column for you at Alatea look like? What are some of the things that you like to write about?
Sure. Well, one thing I really like to write about is just following the liturgical year and just going into the depths of you know, Catholic tradition, and just, you know, there's just so much history over the past 2,000 years. And, you know, I really love kind of digging out these very interesting, saint stories and, kind of dusting them off and putting them into a new way to present them.
That's great.
And then,
so it seems like that some of what you've done with that actually is going to lend itself to being kind of like a basis for this work that you're creating. So were you a big like comic reader before you launched into the project? Did you read them as a kid or anything?
Well, you know, I guess to be honest, as a kid, you know, I did have, you know, a handful of comics, and I, you know, I read them on occasion, but I wasn't, you know, I guess I wasn't a big fan of it per se. I wasn't a big collector, as I know a lot of people are. You know, I, you know, since then I have enjoyed a lot of the recent, you know, movies that have been made based off of comic book characters, and, you know, kind of Marvel has been well known in the last 10 years for just making really good stories. And so I've really enjoyed that as well.
So you didn't kind of come at this as like, I've had a lifelong passion to be a comic book writer. More so it was like, I have a story to tell and I want a kind of creative way to tell it. So I the reason that I'm asking you all these questions is I have written lots of different kinds of things, but I've never written comics. And it seems to me I write some children's fiction, and I also have a lot of nephews. So I spend a lot of time reading children's fiction. And I know that in recent years, there's a particular kind of even that, you know, I wouldn't even necessarily call them like comic books, but more so like a form of storytelling that almost looks like comics. That's kind of, you know, in popular kind of secular genre storytelling, that's becoming more and more a popular way. It's kind of funny because I find my nephews just absolutely love those, that especially like second to fourth graders just love, you know, anything that looks like a comic. So you mentioned kind of learning to write that way. What's a little different about writing, you know, for a comic versus writing a regular novel or a work of fiction for a child?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing about comic book writing is that it's really a team effort. You know, I mean, I'll create kind of an initial draft of the comic book, you know, kind of going through each page, kind of giving a description of what I think would look good on the page or how I think these scenes would play out. And then I give it to the artist, and then the artist, then, you know, you give them kind of a little bit of freedom, and then they can say, well, you know, I like your idea, but I think it would actually work better if you did it like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so that's, you know, I kind of like that, being able to, you know, in a certain sense, I mean, not just creating on my own, but, you know, having a helper there to kind of bring it to life in the
yeah.
best way possible.
Well, let's talk about the series for a minute. I know that when I read the first two, I was like, I immediately want the next one. The project that we're talking about is Finian and the Seven Mountains, and it's a new series. So how did you come up specifically for the idea of Finian and the Seven Mountains? Where did that storyline come from?
Sure. So kind of the main series that we are, we've been producing now for about the past year and a half. So it initially, the idea came after seeing this island called Skellig Michael. It's off the coast of Ireland, and it's just it's an amazing place. But why people have been interested in it recently is because it was in the last two Star Wars movies, so it was in The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, and what I found so fascinating is that, you know, it's this, in the Star Wars universe, it's supposed to be this place where the Jedi first began, and they shot it at this place where there's an actual Christian monastery.
Mm-hmm.
So I just saw a lot of parallels between the two, and I kind of saw this as an opportunity in a certain way to kind of bridge the gap and, kind of introduce people to a little bit of, you know, the history behind this island. So the story itself is, you know, it's fictional, but it's, you know, it begins on this island, you know, Skellig Michael, and it does follow these Christian monks that are on there. But then they get caught up into an adventure, and then, you know, I kind of weave a lot of different Irish traditions and just medieval traditions in general. I mean, probably the biggest one that's kind of driving this whole series is called, some people call it the Sword of St. Michael. And
mm-hmm.
It's these seven monasteries that are in a line from Ireland to Israel. So it kind of, as this series unfolds, then the main characters follow this line, and they go to each of the monasteries that are dedicated to St. Michael.
So you've actually launched the first two titles in the series, and is there a plan for how kind of frequently you'll be letting the new episodes come out or the new issues?
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I'd like to get it out as quickly as I can. Right now, the plan is to get the next one in the series, hopefully in the next few months. Yeah, I mean, kind of, you know, we've only been, our company of Voyage Comics has only been in existence for about a year. So we're still kind of getting off the ground, but we're hoping to kind of catch some steam and to kind of, you know, get some more, be able to dedicate more time to the series in the future.
Well, I'm sure you're going to have the reaction that I had from anybody who reads it. I'll just say for our listeners, if you're just planning to order the comics, which you definitely should, just go ahead and get both of the first two at the same time, because as soon as you read number one, then you're going to want to go on to the next one. I know you're working with two artists. Are they both working on each of the issues, or is it like one did one and then the other did the next one?
Well, it's there's kind of a principal artist. His name is Michael Lavoy. He's been working on he worked on the first one, the second one, and he'll be on the third one. But then there's also depending on the issue, there are some other artists who come in to help out, mainly because because comic books are so you know, heavy on the graphics, you know, and there's such, you know, these full pages of color, it takes a lot of time to do. So in the comic book world, what's been the case is often the principal artist will start it out and make like the layout and the outline, and then another artist will do the coloring, and then another artist will do like the lettering that goes on the page. So a single issue could have, you know, between two and four artists.
Wow.
Working on it.
So once you saw the art come to life for the first issue, I'll share when I was writing my children's fiction series, that series has five books, and as soon as I saw the renderings for the first book, I recognized that my illustrator, who I didn't know, she was just kind of she was basically acquired by the publisher. I saw some elements of her art that impacted me as a storyteller. One specifically is that first book had a frog in it that was an important character in the book. And the way that she drew the frog was so innovative and had so much personality that I ended up putting, every book has like an animal character in it, just because I wanted to see what she would do with the illustrations. Like she really impacted my storytelling. And I'm wondering if that's the case for you, you know, as one who's telling the narrative story, if you consider the kind of the gifts of the artists in the storytelling.
Yeah. I mean, cause it's one of those things where you have, you know, I have this vision and, you know, in my mind of, you know, what I think it'll look like. And then to see the artist actually put it on the page, you know, it's obviously, it's not the same thing that what I was thinking of. But you kind of notice things that, that are, you know, you didn't expect. And yeah, I mean, it does affect then how I then plan ahead. I think, well, what, you know, how, you know, you kind of, how can I work with the artist to make this work? And I kind of know the strengths of the artist, and, I mean, it's enjoyable to do it.
And what did you think the first time that you saw Finian come to life?
Yeah. I mean, I was very pleased. You know, I'm very thankful to have Michael Lavoy doing the kind of the main artist artwork, and I really didn't know what to expect, but it really kind of exceeded my expectations, and I was just very, very happy to see it, and very, very pleased with it.
Yeah, the art is amazing. So say a little bit about distribution for this. Now, you have an online website presence at voyagecomics.com. lisahendy.com. Mm-hmm. And we'll have links in our show notes to for our listeners to grab the online store there. So is that where people should go to order copies? And I know you have it in both paper copy and digital. So say a little bit about that.
Sure. I mean, the principal place you can find it is voyagecomics.com, our website. It is available through Amazon as well. So you can get it there. And yeah, I mean, we've also been, you know, kind of researching ways to get into schools, and there's this Catholic book fair that's taking it to schools this upcoming year as well. So, but yeah, mainly the website and Amazon for them at the moment.
Yeah. And I want to say to anybody listening that the price of these is so affordable. So the paper copy is only $4.99 and a digital download is $2.99, which is, I mean, when you consider the fact that something like this is going to be read probably over and over again, it's a really great price. And I think that if you have somebody who maybe struggles with reading, whether it's a child or even, you know, an adult, that's there's something really unique about comic that it invites you to really dive into the story. Do you find that maybe sometimes it's great for reluctant readers?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Oh, I'm just kind of curious about if you find that that maybe reluctant readers, kind of a kid who wouldn't normally pick up like a chapter book, might be attracted to a comic book in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, because a regular, you know, chapter book can be kind of daunting, just kind of seeing, pages and pages of text. But a comic book, it's not really threatening. You can kind of open it up and you see these different dialogue balloons. And in a certain sense, you know, you don't even have to know how to read to kind of follow the story. I mean, obviously the words do explain the images, but you can still follow along and kind of see how the pages are portrayed to kind of understand things as well.
What are some of the readers saying in terms of feedback for the books?
Yeah, I mean, it's been very positive and definitely popular among just kind of all ages. I've talked to school children to, you know, kind of some teenagers, and then even adults, you know, who are, you know, in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, like, you know, it's basically everybody is kind of enjoyed it, who has read it. So,
well, just like me. So awesome. So along with voyagecomics.com, you have a Facebook community over at facebook.com/voyagecomics, and you're on Twitter as well. We'll have links to those places in the show notes. Any kind of closing thoughts about the series or what your hopes are or why people should check it out?
Yeah. Kind of our goal in Voyage Comics and whatever comics that we do produce is just to produce something that's entertaining, first of all, but then that has a good, kind of Catholic base underneath. So it's not overly preachy or doesn't kind of force the gospel down your throat, but it just presents a good story that anyone can enjoy. And then also to see the truth, beauty, and goodness, in the Catholic faith.
Well, it's an extremely worthwhile mission, and it's a mission that's being played out with great great beauty and great excitement. I'm like I said, I can't wait for the third issue to come out. So I'm definitely so grateful for your time, Philip. Friends, again, the website where you can check this out is voyagecomics.com, and we'll also have links to over to Amazon so you can check the work out there. Philip, thank you so much for your work and for the creative way that you're sharing the good news of the gospel.
Yes, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, sure. Well, friends, that is it for this week's episode. And I do definitely want to encourage you to check these out. I mean, even if you don't, if you're not a parent and you don't have kids for yourself, I'm just going to say, like, go ahead and spend $5 and give yourself the awesome fun of a great story. You won't regret it. I think you're really going to enjoy these. That's about it for this week's show. So we are going to head out, but I want to remind you, as always, that if you enjoy the show, it's a great blessing if you can share it with a friend or leave us a little star review or rating over at iTunes or wherever you're listening. That helps to get the word out about the show. And I want to say a big thanks to my friends at Redbox Media. Until next week, have an awesome week, friends. God bless.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of my podcasts here at Redbox Media. But today I'm speaking to you about a different opportunity. In September 2020, I'll be leading a fantastic pilgrimage cruise from Rome to the Holy Land, and then on the way back, stopping at the cities of St. Paul, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, and more. While we're at sea, I'll be lecturing on the Gospels, history or mystery. When we're on land, I'll invite you to join me as we visit all of the holy sites, celebrating Mass, worshiping together, and having a wonderful time of fellowship. If you'd like to know more about this pilgrimage cruise, go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com. Go to the right sidebar, and you'll see a picture there, which invites you to get more information. Go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, right sidebar, click on the picture of the cruise ship, and you'll get all the information you need. Alternatively, you can call the company that's organizing the tour at 800-247-0017. 800-247-0017. Ask for Father Longenecker's Cruise to the Holy Land. Thanks for listening.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.